Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the greatest, the best, the goats in the business since 1974. They do a great job. You should hit them up for your team's outfit, whether it be business or on the field. Tonight, we've got Chris Oliver, longtime friend of the show. Heck, you've been here since the wee early days, haven't you, Coach?
Yeah, if you did a tally of the number of appearances on the show with interviews and things, I'd be close to the top. I may not be number one, but I'd be pretty close.
Honestly, yeah, I think if you're not at the top, you're dang close. It's a good year for Georgetown. Last year, your fifth overall in SP Plus, the third ranked defense by that metric, and the 13th ranked offense. You make it to the semifinals. I mean, you know, Georgetown being NAI royalty, you know, the semifinals might not be where you want to be, but there's about 93 or so other teams that would love to have made the semifinals, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great year, and obviously, we wanted to win, you know, two more games, and everybody does, and you get into that situation. But man, the older I get, the more I realize you better not take it for granted when you're in those spots. And winning is hard, and winning a conference championship is hard, and you know, winning a single game in college football is something we preach in our program. And you know, there's so much that goes into the course of a calendar year. And football is the ultimate, where you divide that up by the guaranteed number of games you get, and you put in more days than ever into that single opportunity. So winning a college football game is hard, and I thought we had a great season. Really proud of our guys, and you know, like I said, we wanted to win two more. It was a long bus ride back from Orange City, Iowa. You know, with that taste in your mouth, but you know, we're excited about what our guys achieved last year, and excited to turn the page and work to go again.
Well, your season started off nice with a couple of wins there at home versus Kentucky Christian and UPike. But you make a road trip there, and you drop that first road game at Reinhardt. Talk to me about having to make, you mentioned it, in regards to Northwestern, but a long bus ride home from Reinhardt, having to go, man, we were so close, but yet so far almost, really.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations you still look back and, you know, I'm disappointed as the head coach. And, you know, we were up two scores at halftime. And, you know, no matter what happens from that point forward, you know, you can look at execution and turnovers and play calls on both sides you'd like to have back and all those things. The bottom line is the head coach in our program, we're up two scores at halftime and we don't get it done. You know, that's my responsibility. And you know, that was a tough one to move forward from. We had a very, you know, come to Jesus type of meeting that the next day. It, you know, it's not yelling and screaming. That's really not the way that I prefer to coach, but just a challenging and a reckoning and a taking ownership and maturity. And I tell you, that was a tough loss, and all the credit goes to Reinhardt. That's a very good football team last year, tough place to play. I don't want, you know, this is sound like we're taking anything away from Coach Miller and his crew, because they did a great job and they beat us on that day. But that's a game that we left there. We felt like we should have beat them at their place, at a tough place against a good team, but we didn't, and it didn't go our way that day. And even though I wouldn't want to lose that game again, in some ways, looking back on our season, I think that that was a catalyst moment for us maturing and growing and taking a step forward with our program from a standpoint of where we are now. Obviously, we have a storied and historic program, but where we are now and where we've been the past handful of years, the way that we moved forward from that game made us really proud as coaches. And, you know, I thought our guys, you know, really handled it well. And you know, we had a bye week the next week. And, you know, bye weeks can be good and bye weeks can be bad. But, man, bye weeks coming off a tough loss, they suck bad. you know, like, we handled it okay. But, man, let me tell you, that's a long 2 weeks. That's a long 2 weeks. But we went out and, you know, we played well down the stretch. We really matured. And I think that was a big moment for us as a program, even though that loss really stunk.
I mean, you know, I was about to say, you know, after that bye week, it didn't take you long to bounce back. You put on a running clinic against Bethel the next game, a 52-24 win where your quarterback throws 8 passes for 7 yards. That yards per attempt ain't great, Coach.
No.
But not at all. But Darius Neal was a man of fire, 21 attempts, 173, 3 touchdowns, 8.2 yards per carry. Talk to me about bouncing back and do I have to say it, going 1-0?
Yeah, going 1-0, that's our thing, and that's been our thing for a while. You know, just really excited about how you go down. I mean, let me tell you, Bethel, as we know, is as talented a team as you're going to find out there at our level. And Coach Jasper does a great job. And, you know, I thought we went down and we just fought against a great team at their place and played really well. And, you know, had some breaks go our way early from turnover standpoint, had some guys make some really great plays on defense, had a defensive score early, ended up getting another defensive score late. I thought our guys played with great physicality up front in the offensive line. And, you know, Darius had a big day, but our tight end, no line, had a big day. And just one of those games where, and I've told people this, you know, sometimes this is how games go. You know, if we play Bethel 10 times, I'm not sure that we beat them by 4 scores again, you know, but on that day at that moment it was, you know, in some ways I kind of feel like we finished the season a little bit that way in reverse. You know, I'm not sure we play 10 times it goes that way, but on that day, you know, that's how it went. And you know, really excited about how our guys bounced back that day. That was a big win and, you know, a big moment for us as a program to say, okay, we lost the game at Reinhardt. You come back, you have a bye week, you have a long week, you got to reset, you know, and then challenge us up and then to go back on the road to McKenzie, Tennessee, and win against a really good football team. That was a big moment for us.
Then at the end of October, you basically, effectively, you paved the way to the playoffs, punching your ticket against Lindsey Wilson. Whereas the Bethel game was a, you know, big score, you know, 4 touchdown win, the game against Lindsey is very much the grind it out. You know, you get a Slunaker pass to Dylan Warren early in the second quarter, and then Drew Rader tacks on a field goal midway through the third, and your defense stands on its head and makes it stand up.
Yeah, our defense was just lights out that day, and really lights out for almost all the season. I mean, we've been outstanding on defense, and we had a great year on that side of the ball, but we played phenomenal that day. There's no doubt. And, you know, it's a game where the offenses are somewhat similar and there's some familiarity there. And, you know, sometimes that can lead, you know, to, you know, how to take advantage of each other's deficiencies and those things. And sometimes it can lead to more points, but in this case, it was two similarly based offenses and two super talented defenses, but the defenses are different. And, you know, we went into that game and I felt like it was probably going to be a low scoring game. I don't think I would have predicted only 10 points, but I would not have predicted a shootout, but it was two great defenses, you know, their defense and our defense. And, you know, for us to pitch a shutout against a team like that is just phenomenal. And it was just really proud of our guys and our coaching staff and you know, Coach Perrin, our defensive coordinator, and our defensive coaching staff just had an awesome game plan, and our guys went out and executed it, and that was certainly a big day for us.
Then we get to the playoffs. It's you know, a little bit of a different feel to it with the bye week, and looking on your schedule, I'm like sitting here going, wait a minute, I know they didn't take like almost a month off. Trying to remember who y'all played between the last game of your season in Indiana Wesleyan, and I'm just absolutely blanking.
Yes, we had had the bye, and then we had Baker.
Okay, yeah, that's who it was.
You know, at home, and you know, Baker played in that first round. So now the first round, I've got to catch myself too on, you know, what all these things are now officially called. We want to be clear, and I say we as, you know, the NAI and coaches, like, it's not a play-in round, you know, and in some ways it sort of felt like that, but it's not. I mean, those teams that played in that first round, they're in the playoffs, and they, you know, qualified and did that. So, you know, we were all going through this for the first time with this new format, so it was interesting to, you know, poke around the internet, watch other games. You know, I think I watched, trying to recall, St. Thomas and Reinhardt, which that, you know, that game was surprising to me. St. Thomas was phenomenal that day. And, you know, I watched a little bit of Louisiana Christian and Baker, and watched Montana Tech and Dickinson, and just like, you know, watching all this great NAI football. And here we are sitting at home and we're still playing, but we're not playing today. So that was really weird. And then we fast forward, you know, we kind of had all this, you know, bracketology on, okay, if this team wins, and here's how we think this might play out, and you know, all that type of stuff. So that was really neat. And, you know, and then all of a sudden we got Baker, you know, coming to town Thanksgiving weekend. And that was really just interesting to go through all that planning. And you know, I will tell you, just like, you know, peeling back the curtain on some of that, you know, I've been really fortunate to be coaching teams that are playing during Thanksgiving weekend a handful of times now. And Kevin Donnelly told me once a number of years ago in a conversation that, you know, playing in the playoffs on Thanksgiving week is the toughest week as a head coach because of the logistics that it takes. And whether you're the home team or the away team has its own challenges. Let me tell you, if you're traveling on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, depending upon where you're going, the only place in America that's open for dinner is Cracker Barrel. So I'll just go ahead and give that tip to every coach out there. If you're looking for a place, they don't take reservations, but they will take care of you on Thanksgiving night. And, you know, we've done that a couple times over the years where, like, we're on a bus and, like, we're stopping at Cracker Barrel in, like, Missouri or, you know, wherever that is on these trips to different places. But logistically, Thanksgiving week is really challenging as the away team and as the home team. Because the home team, you've got, hey, are you practicing Thanksgiving morning? Do you let your guys go home? Do you keep them on campus? Then you're a maniac, you know, if you don't let them go home and see their family and all that stuff. And I thought this year that was something that I did not see coming on the NAI landscape. So we had a bye week, and then we knew that we were likely to have a home game the following week. So during our bye week, we didn't know our opponent, but we went ahead and made logistical plans for what our Thanksgiving week looked like. And we had, you know, we had plans for a potluck with families and all that type of stuff. And I thought when we flipped the page and found out, okay, Baker is coming to Georgetown, that I felt like we were ahead of the game, not because of the football standpoint, but because of the logistical standpoint of Thanksgiving week. And I thought it was interesting to look at the results around the country, and the teams with the byes were the highest ranked teams. So it's a little bit of chicken and the egg, but the teams that had the byes, I thought, really outperformed some of those others. So it's going to be interesting to see how that continues to play out. And I'll tell you, when we went through this new 20 team playoff, and you know, the 12 teams get a first round bye and the other 8 teams play and all that stuff, I did not see that aspect of the logistics coming. And then when we got in there, I thought, wow, this was awesome to have that week before Thanksgiving off. Let me make all those plans on our campus and all that type of stuff. And I thought when we got to game day and we were playing Baker, you know, I just felt like that there was some advantage, you know, to that above and beyond just the off week. So I'm rambling here, but I'm just trying to like share stuff that, you know, is on the coaching side that we really found that was interesting this year with the new playoff format.
My interest is really towards the four, I believe, teams that got a bye and then had to travel, but didn't know where.
Yeah.
That was, oh my gosh, I would be completely anxious knowing that I've got to make last minute plans. Holy crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of different layers all to that, depending upon if you were going to be a home team, an away team, a team that played and then was going to be an away team. So it's really, you know, an interesting format. I think by and large, there's so many of us that are for more representation in the playoffs. And I really felt like the round of 16, when I looked at the 16 teams remaining after the first round, I thought this might be the deepest round of 16 I've ever seen, because you have four other teams that were already eliminated. They're not bad football teams. And I think three of the four might have been automatic qualifiers, I believe. At least two of the four, but I think three of the four. So I just felt like, you know, by the time you got to the round of 16, I thought it was a really deep, deep, you know, squad and group of teams. So it's really going to be interesting just to see how it continues to develop over the years.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about, like, Ottawa was an AQ.
Louisiana Christian. And Reinhardt, I believe.
Ah, yeah. And then Montana Tech was an at-large. There's your four.
Yeah.
So it was three out of the four. Yeah. So then you go, you win versus Indiana Wesleyan, you host a really good football team there.
Yeah.
And then your season comes to an end, like you had said, in Orange City. And, you know, you played them, heck, 2.5 years ago at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, you didn't get the full picture of their offense because their quarterback had gotten hurt against Morningside and all this stuff. But man, you know, your defense that had been so stout all year, unfortunately had no answer for them on especially on third down, where they were 12 of 13.
Yeah, we just didn't play well. And I want to preface that by saying, you know, that's a darn good football team. Coach McCarty's got those guys, and not just his team. He has their program playing at an elite level, right? And I know that, you know, well, no doubt. They won the national championship a year ago and all. But that program's playing at an elite level. You got a quarterback that's super special and great personnel around him. So I don't want to take anything away from them. Phenomenal football team and very deserving of, you know, winning that conference and getting to that spot in the playoffs and making the national championship. But we picked a poor day to probably play our worst football game of the year. And that's just, you know, the reality of it. And, you know, we had a tough situation from a standpoint of weather, but guess what? Both teams play in the same weather. So that can't be an excuse, but let me tell you, it wasn't fun. And, you know, we didn't start well. You know, we were kind of rehashing it the other day. And, you know, we get a penalty on our opening kickoff, and we hold and kind of start now in the minus 10, minus 11 yard line. Our offense, you know, we go three and out, and we've got probably 35 to 40 mile an hour sustained winds going down the field. And, you know, we lost the coin toss, and we were into the wind, and you know, we punted into the wind. We had no offensive time of possession there, which isn't a huge stat for me, but when you're three and out, that's not good. And, you know, we gave up a quick score, and, you know, we got down. We didn't play well. We didn't play well on third down on defense, and we didn't move the ball on offense, and that's a pretty bad mix. So, you know, we're playing a great football team. Credit to them, but that wasn't our day.
So, coming back for you on your football team, offensively, you've got a couple of really nice pieces in your starting running back in Darius Neal and an All-American center, Blake Gossett, coming back. You've got your starting quarterback coming back. You've got your leading receiver coming back. You've got pieces here and there. You've got a couple of places that you've got to that you've got to find some folks for, whether it be Mags, your wide receiver, whether it be Boots Elliott on your offensive line, who's a first teamer. Just got a little bit of plug and play to do. But talk to me about filling those gaps and making sure that you stay the course.
Yeah, we had a experienced offensive line last year. We really leaned on those guys. And obviously, Darius Neal had a phenomenal year. You know, went over 1,000 yards in the regular season alone in just 9 games. And, you know, was a big part of our success. And you know, was an All-American, and rightfully so. I think, you know, the big thing we got to do right there and plan to do is, you know, we kind of got into an identity down the stretch. And it started in that Bethel game that you referenced earlier. And we really leaned on Darius in that offensive line. And I don't want to say there's anything wrong with that, but we want to get back to making sure that we're more balanced from a standpoint of making sure that our opposing defenses understand that there's other ways that we're going to be able to be successful and move the ball. And I don't think we have any desire to feature Darius less, you know, within that. But, you know, we've got a quarterback in Garrett who has a couple years under his belt, and some other quarterbacks in the program who are continuing to develop. And I think we've got an opportunity. We're going to miss Aaron Maggard. He's a great football player, but I think we have the opportunity to have maybe a deeper and more well-rounded, complete receiving core. And we're continuing to develop a tight end. And as you and I talked about off the air, you know, Jeremy Adams had a great year and great blocker, but you know, I think our tight end room is strong. So I think we're excited about being more balanced on offense and having different ways to take some of the pressure off of our running game, or to make opposing defenses respect other aspects of our offense than just our running game might be a better way to put that. So we're excited about that. I think we've got the opportunity to be more well balanced on offense, but make no mistake, Darius is going to touch the ball a lot. He's a great player.
I mean, you know, there is one way to do that, and that's to put up more yards and more points. I mean, you know,
yeah, more plays. That.
More plays.
We're trying
to
do that. Yeah, it's so funny too. Like, you know, just the ebbs and flows of offenses and you know how things go, and you know, when I was in Ohio Dominican and I was an assistant coach. You know, and I was working for Dale Carlson, and you know, we had a quarterback who at that time set the national record for passing yards in the NAIA. It was broken by the young man at Southern Oregon a handful of years later. But, you know, Chris Reister threw for 5,400 yards and 54 touchdowns in the 2007 season. And you fast forward now and you talk about that game against Bethel where we had 8 pass attempts or whatever that is. But that's what we want to do in our offense, and we have evolved over the years. There is no doubt. But we want to have an offense that can win in multiple ways, because if you want to be a championship team, then you have to be able to do that. There's going to be times when you have to throw the football. There's going to be times you have to run the football. We want to be able to do both of those things.
defensively, we talked about third ranked by SP Plus. You return about half of your defense. It's almost literally half of your players at each level of your defense. But you do bring back an All-American in Chad Holleran. Talk to me about, again, finding the guys to plug the gaps and to keep that high level.
Yeah, well, Chad's a special player for sure, and we're glad he's back for his extra year. But we've got to find other guys that continue to develop around him. I think that it's going to start with our defensive line. I think that that's the group that's going to really make us go. And we're like everybody. We always want more depth. We're always going to talk about we got to stay healthy up front, and all those things are certainly important for us. But, I think get that defensive line going and making sure that, we continue to not let people be comfortable, not just in the run game, but quarterbacks with the way that they sit in the pocket. And we got to allow our secondary to grow up. We've got a few guys that we graduated, as we talked about, that were special players. We got some experience coming back there, but we got to continue to grow on that back end and take some pressure off of those guys. But, sort of like, talking about the team for Northwestern and them losing some of those skill guys. You go back 2 years ago, we inherited a guy named DJ White that, had a phenomenal, had a phenomenal year the year before we got here. And he comes out and he's playing a new position in our defense in the 2022 season, has another great year. And, he's in contention for Mid-South Conference Defensive Player of the Year a few times in his career. And you're like, okay, how are you going to replace that guy? And he graduates and our defense continues to take a next step. And it's not that we were better because he was gone. That's not the case. We would have loved to have him back for one more year, but you just continue to develop who you are and what your style is. And great programs are going to have great players, and then great programs are going to lose great players. And that's part of that process. And so we're excited that Chad's back for sure. We've got some other positions that, we're going to have new guys step up and continue to grow. We've got some other guys that have really important reps under their belt. And I'm confident in, our defensive staff. They do a great job. And, I could tell you we're as we film this, we're four practices into spring football. We are not a finished product in any way. We got a long way to go. But I think we're going to be pretty good on defense again. Pretty excited about, what we're seeing. And we're going to get tested early week one, so we better be ready to go.
Can we talk about week one? We teased it last week. But y'all are going to go up to Montana and go play Montana Tech. And I love it. That's fantastic. Get the Mid-South and the Northwest to clash together. And, man, I love out-of-conference matchups like that. Wish we would do more. Understand why we can't. But, man, wish we could do more.
Yeah, it's nice when you don't have to, honestly. but, it's one of those situations where this year for us, we needed to do it, needed to fill a game. And there weren't a lot of people left dancing. We had some musical chairs and we were left at the party. And so we were able to work it out. So we're excited about that. That's going to be a big test. I mean, they're going to be really good. And it's funny. I never would have projected that. But I remember watching clips of that Dickinson State Montana Tech game during that off week and thought, man, this Montana Tech team is tough. And goodness, look at that receiver out there. Oh, my goodness, look at this quarterback. I mean, so. It's little did we know we're going to be playing the next game on that field, after watching that one. That's going to be a big test. They're going to be a tough physical team, and we'll look forward to the opportunity. But that's going to be a big one right away, and we know that we're going to have our hands full.
Going to change gears here a little bit. One of the things that brought me a little bit of joy over – last season was watching the CFL and especially the Toronto Argonauts, and Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. Watching Cam Dukes do it. And, I mean, you know, you don't want anyone to get hurt, but, you know, getting to see Cam take starting reps for Toronto in a quest for a Grey Cup, you know, that's gotta make you a proud daddy almost kind of feeling there.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And pretty cool. Not many people know this. I asked my son, he was sitting here. Cam came to one of our games.
Oh, and, nice.
You know, brought me an Argonauts jersey. It was pretty
cool.
Kind of surprised me after one of our games takes place. And had no clue he was coming. And he was there after one of those games. And I brought that. I mean, Cam's an awesome guy and special player, obviously. I was so proud, for him, excited for him and what he's doing. He's earned all that. He works his butt off. And obviously, he's a talented guy. He's been blessed with great talent, but he works at a level that is just so impressive. And I'm really excited for him, and I think he's going to continue to develop. And I haven't watched the waivers and those types of things. I'm kind of rooting for Chad Kelly to get signed by someone in the league, and hopefully Cam can be the next guy there and the full-time starter and get that opportunity. But we're really excited for him. You know, it's funny, when he was out in Las Vegas in the arena team prior to getting signed in Canada, we took a vacation and flew in and out of Vegas as we went to see the Grand Canyon and went and stopped and saw Cameron and all that. And just a really close relationship with him and our family, and, you know, just really excited for him.
Well, Coach, you know it as well as I do. If you're not continually getting better and trying to make yourself better every day, you're going backwards. It's part of life. So what area of your program, on or off the field, are y'all really focusing in on in 2024?
Well, I think consistency is always something we're trying. And I think I may have given you some of that same answer a year ago, if I recall correctly. So a little bit, it feels like, maybe that's a cop-out type of answer, but, you know, we know that we can execute at a high level when we're taking care of our business and when we're, really focused on all the stuff that we can control. But it's, can you keep that up? And really, can you reset? I think it's really important, you know, when you're young people, or, you know, you're an old guy like me, 42, getting ready to be 43. We had a phenomenal season, and I'm really excited about what 2023 was like. But, you know, you don't start the next season where you finished the last one, except for maybe in a poll. You maybe have a poll, but, like, as far as the journey within your conference and within your schedule, you're back at the bottom of the mountain. And, you know, the hardest part of the mountain to climb is the highest, tallest peak. That's where it gets the steepest. That's where the fewest people and the fewest teams can do it. And it takes consistency to get there. And I think that that's something that is a huge focus for us. And within our program right now, coming off a great season, you know, are we able to maintain and take our hunger and our desire to work at that level? Everybody wants to win. Not everybody wants to do what it takes to win. Are we able to take our desire in our execution another level forward, even after you're coming off what was a truly great season? So I think those are the things that are really on my mind as the head coach, you know, trying to move us forward into 2024.
Well, I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited for that out-of-conference matchup. I'm excited to watch the Mid-South. It's going to be fun. Bethel's got a lot coming back. You're never able to count out Lindsay. Campbellsville is on the rise, doing some really great things. Faulkner just brought in a new OC, I saw. So, who knows? They might be back to scoring 90 points at some juncture.
I'm telling you, the Mid-South, and it sounds like I'm a homer because it's our conference, but I'm telling you, the Mid-South Conference is phenomenal football right now. And I think that's one of the neatest parts about getting in the playoffs is you get to trade video and really watch other conferences and really see what everyone's about. That's so neat. That's so great to be able to compare yourselves. And, you know, I put the Mid-South up against a lot of different conferences. I'm really proud about, you know, not just our program, but the other programs we play against. And you know, we got great coaches that we compete against. And overall, just I think the NAI, I'm an NAI lifer, I hope. But, you know, NAI football continues to get better. It's a great product. And I'm really excited about what we got going on.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming on tonight. It's always a pleasure. And we'll see what you got coming out. Excited to see all y'all have, not just in the Mid-South, but with y'all specifically and watching y'all's journey this year.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate all you do.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.